So we were in the middle of the sugya yesterday, Megabe, the halachas of Mila, came in the context of general refuas, but because we had the problem that a rofe often does the Mila, and we were talking about refua of Mila between a choice where you've got either a kuti or an akum, and you don't have a yisrael to be mal. And we ended up with some problems in how to learn Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, because each one seemed to have a contradiction to his own shita. And that's where we're right in the middle of, with the difference between the kuti. Is the kuti is going to be mal with a specific intent that it should be the shem hagrizim, whereas the akum remains with a machshava stam. Stam is he's doing it just as a procedure, whatever the das of the Yisrael is, that essentially would be the procedure. And we got into the shaila of whether there is such a thing as Mila min ha'Torah l'shma. And this was Rabbi Yossi's Taina. Who ever heard of such a thing? Who cares what the Akum's intent is? Point is, someone is supposed to be Nimol, so fine, he'll be Nimol. I mean, it's not as if we're asking him to write spelling or something. I mean, so since when is Mila the equivalent of Ksiva? Well, of course you can't use an Akum because it requires the correct intent. So he didn't understand what Pichlal was the Hakpoda of Rabbi Yehuda. And this is what we want to get into a little bit today. What would be the marker for this? Yesterday we came out that the Mandi Amar who holds that Mila Ba'akum is possible. We originally thought it was Rabbi Yehuda, the Bar Plukta, and Rabbi Yossi. That was Rabbi Ramos. But Rabbi Yehuda himself, he holds that there's some kind of need for the correct machshava at the time that you're mal. And where do we get that from? Amar Rav Chisda, today we're up, this is one third of the way down. Amar Rav Chisda. And that's Chav Zayin Amin Alim. My time at a Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda get his idea that there's such a concept of Lishma, which bothers him therefore, that a Kuti who might have an opposite Lishma versus a Stoma, where we say Stoma is Lishma, when it comes to an Akum, where would we have such an idea? By the way, Tosfos points out that if you hold Stoma, and that would be the equivalent of Lishma over here, that has nothing to do with the general question of Stoma Lishma, let's say, Legada using a Goy to write a get, for instance. He would say, well, okay, Stoma Lishma. Because over here, obviously, the Lishma is what we're doing as part of the norm. I'm doing this as part of the norm. So there's no such thing as part of a norm to give an Isha a get. That's crazy. So you can't say an Isha is omedet lit garej. You certainly say that over here, the RL is in fact omedet to be Nemo, and that's all that he's doing. So you shouldn't add from the two segments. It's very possible to hold over here some which were not, and over there maybe it's a completely different issue. But in any event, what's the marker, says Rav Chisda? He comes up with a very ingenious thing. Because what it says, Legabi Korban Pesach, of course that's the, so it says over there that you should Vasa Pesach Lashem, Himol Lachem. So he's darshaning Vasa Pesach Lashem Himol. The person should be Mal Lashem Hashem. And that's why the Lashem is put in that way, instead of saying, Lashem Yimol means that there's a din of Himol Lashem Shamayim. So the Lashem can be going on both. The Ida, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, okay, but it also says Himol Yimol. So Himol Yimol is a reboy. Himol Yimol, no matter what. Whatever you might think would be a limitation, we're telling you now that it's a reboy. Don't limit it in such a way. The Ida Chaksi, Hashem Himol, and what does Rabbi Yossi say about that pasuk? About he says that's the Pesach. What's the Pesach Hashem? Comma Himol. Why should I say that the Hashem is going on? But that's what the Himol Yimol tells me is not to read it like that. The Edok Nam Yatsidi Mo Yimol, and what in fact is Rabbi Yehuda do with the Ribui? Rabbi Yehuda holds, and this he holds all over, the Brat Torah Kilshon B'nei Adam, and that you cannot darshan the double lashon. Now Tosis points out that we often find, and it's interesting that we find this in Rabbi Shimon, and so Rabbi Shimon Shita B'chlal, he contradicts himself in this issue, that sometimes apparently we do darshan. Nobody argues on a lot of these things that say, Hashem Kashim, by Hashavah Zaveda, Rafilu upon him, or a hocheach tochiach. There's many drushes like that in which we say, and we never find a sheet that it says otherwise, that it means to continuously redo this process. Now, Tosfos says there's got to be some reason why. I don't know the reason, he says. There's got to be some reason why sometimes we're Dorishit and we don't say it means Dibrat Torah Kelashon Bnei Adam, and sometimes we say that it is Kelashon Bnei Adam. I mean, the fact that it's Mitbakesh Me'elav, the difference is Mitbakesh Me'elav, in that a Lashon that can be used as repeat, that's the simple meaning of a repetition in Hebrew. So when you say Hashev Tashiv, do it again and again and again if necessary. Okay, so yes, keep telling the guy. You certainly can't say Yimo Yimo means keep being mal and going, right? So the only meaning, therefore, would be either to darshan it and to say that it's coming as a reboy, which is not similar to the word, or to say, look, when we want you to really do something, we can talk about it as if it's the kind of thing you would do again and again. It means the same idea. To do again and again is make absolutely certain that it's done. So saying Yimo also means make absolutely certain that it's done. And it's a completely different concept. So the repetition is always Midrash, but not Midrash beyond the chat. Midrash to say it means to constantly redo, that's the simple meaning of it. That is included in Dibrat Torah Kelashon Bnei Adam. But to say to be Dorish, that it means a Rebuy, not to Darsh, and Pesach Lashem, that's already beyond the Pshat. Magabi that he holds Dibrat Torah Kelashon Bnei Adam. So in any event, continues the Gemara, so now we have, therefore, a Machlokes in whether there's a concept of Lishma Lagabi Nila. If you hold there's a concept of Lishma, then say nothing on me. You have a problem using an Akum, of a Kuti. The Akum is Stama Lishma. If you hold that there's no problem with Lishma, then we get into the other question, which we haven't yet talked about, was the Machlokes with Yudah Nossi and the one who says, Stama, an Akum is possible. I mean, you can't use an Akum for the act of Nila, because the Torah disallows it, not because of Lishma. That we'll get to next. Now, the truth is that there's a fascinating Machlokes, Halacha L'Maaseh, about this issue, in terms of someone that an Akum did do Nila for, and the Shaila is, but it's according to the Bechaver, okay, that's fine. So he did the Mila, it's fine.
Finished.
There's nothing else to do. According to the Ramah, there's an Inyan of being closer to be Matik Dan Brit. There's a concept of that. That's a whole big Shaila. Where does Hatofas Dan Brit add a separate dimension to the Mila? So, but in any event, that revolves around this subject. There's also, by the way, a very interesting Diyak, Kalofa Maitha, which is made over the, you know, by recent posting, which is the Shaila of, do you put off a Brit if there's no one around to, there's only the Rav, the Benzin, and the mother isn't here, the father isn't here, they have to go off to a hospital, so, you know, the Shaila of this come up, there's nobody to make a Shliach to do music, you die to wait for the people to come back, so the Av can appoint a Shliach, or does the Tzibur take care of it, basically make the Bris on its own, and do the Mila on its own. On the 8th day, yeah. So over here, they bring the Raya. I think it was the Achi Ezra who brings the Raya. That over here, there was no Rofa Yisrael. That doesn't mean you can't get a Rofa Yisrael, but they're here, the Gemara was willing to say, take an Akum. Take an Akum means that you don't have a Shliach, because ain't Shlichut L'Akum. So for all intents and purposes, it's the same as the parents not being here. Because the Akum is doing it, there's no technicality of Shlichut. It's time it's going to be done. So it's time, what's happening is going to be done by an Akum, it's going to be done by the best. And you see from here, you don't wait to get the empowerment from the parents. So you go ahead and do it. This is brilliant, right? This is so interesting to see how the technicality of ancient Shlichut L'Akum translates into a Lemaisa, what it is you should do this man as a... Now, you see, that's the type of thing that mamish in small communities is very nafuts. There's no mail, and the only person you can ask is the doctor in the hospital. You know, and, he's not a Jew. What do? You wait around after Yom HaShemini and wait until somebody comes. Or, you know, that would be the Shaila, assuming that the Paskin of the Yakum would be kosher.
Yeah, Okay.
They're all horrible.
What if you have a Baal Tshuva tells you that the doctor did his best? What do we pass on?
Sorry?
What if you have a Baal Tshuva who tells you that the doctor did his best? A Goyish doctor.
So that's the Machlokes. But there's an Indian about Tafas Dambris. People do it. I mean, they do a Tafas Dambris. Especially because there's a Shaila about Mumrim, or Minyan. If it was a means over there, we would definitely have to have a tablet. There is much of a sakar. Yeah, it's badafka means. So then we do the tablet. That's the type of thing that should come up.
What was
done
before the eighth day?
If it's before the eighth day, then yeah, that's a whole that's a whole different issue. Then there's no act of mila.
Right.
It doesn't have a shame or long before the eighth day. So maybe what you cut off wasn't the brit. It's probably you cut off a piece of skin from his nose. Means I'm not going to make him a mole, obviously. So that doesn't have technically speaking, there's no chalos of the concept of orla. The Torah has to first define the object to which brit milah is done, and this object is not described as orla at this point. It's not yet an orla. Lemaisa, again, seem to be other inyanim that are involved. So it's not a big deal. I thought it was done first. You could do it yourself. You get it, your surgical function.
Not done.
Huh?
You couldn't because you wouldn't be mole.
Yeah, that's true. You're not mole, you're mole. But that's the thing you're coming up with. We'll get to it. So the Irak. Oh, sorry. And we're up to the next piece Itzma. Over here. Itzma. So here now we have the other issue, which is the question of using the Akum for Mila. Minayim l'mila b'alvetko chavim shitzula. Daru bar papa mishme derav amar. You're thinking, by the way, of a geris. Over there for sure. That's very common that a ger that you have to redo a meal on somebody that was ger. But yeah, he's talking about Stam. So udar bar papa mishmei de rav amar. It says v'ata et briti tishmor. So Avram Avinu is being told, you, meaning you and Zarah Ahareha, obviously, who accept now this brit and have this relationship with me as this mitzvah, you shall be shomer the brit. Mashma, and then it goes on to say, Malacham Talot is a cause of fire, and so on. Mashma, that not you, meaning Achum, those who do not come from you, are not included in the Malacham, and therefore they can't do the act of meal. Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says, the reason is, trips to the word Omar over here, Himol Yimol. Himol Yimol can be understood as Hamal Yimol. Somebody who was Nimol can be Mal others. But if he isn't Nimol, he can't be Mal others either. Is there a difference between these two approaches? Between the approach of Rav and the approach of Rav Yochanan. My Binayu says, the Gemara, sure, there's a big difference. The difference between them would be an Aravi Mahul or a Gavnuni Mahul. Let's say that you have a Goy who is Mahul. Now, this Goy could come from the Aravim, which may be Nogeo here, may not be. That is Badati is an Aravi in terms of being B'nai Ishmael. Gavnuni, actually, there's some of the Rishonim who talk about that Gavnunim were descendants of B'nai Keturah. Now, according to the Rambam, B'nai Keturah are actually higher in Mila. And, okay, when kids identify with B'nai Keturah because of the Bilbala Umas and so on, certainly, the question of whether there is a Chalos Siyav on Yishmal, and that the Rambam says it's not, because it's Tibi Yitzvah Kikari Lacha. But there are Rishonim who learn that even the Siyav on the children of Avram Avinu was only for one generation. It wasn't a brit that would go on after the lifetime of Avram Avinu. So even the Neketur were chayav for that door, being his children. It doesn't mean that they had to keep the meal. The Rambam doesn't agree with that. The Rambam holds that the Neketur would actually be a nima. What? Of course. What do you mean? He was the best, no? Okay. Hagar.
Why would we assume that the Neketur would be chayav any more than
Bnei Hagar? It is Bnei Hagar, but you mean by Yishmol and Yitzchak they're redefined as Kibi Yitzchak Yikar Lachazera, but over here there was a Beischa which includes your Avodim and so on, and this is the Bnei Shvachas. So the difference would be, so Nandi Yomar Himo Yimol, okay, so they're Nimol, so they should be able to be Mal others. Man Yomar Ata Ebriti Tishmor Leka, they're not included in the Ata, even though they may be the children of Avram Avinu, but they're not the children who are involved in the brit. Now, wait a minute. You're saying that if you have a goy who is Nimol, that he's included in Hamol Yimol? I thought that basically the physical reality of being Nimol is not the thing that defines the brit. Doesn't it say Beferish in the Mishnah, but it's not. Konim shani nehenem in ha'areli. If somebody answers himself on having hana'ah from people who are arelim, he's allowed to be meaneh from a Jew who is physically an Arel, and he's usher to be Nene from a Goy who is physically circumcised. So you see that the definition of Arelut or Mul has nothing to do with the physical reality. It has to do with a characteristic of commitment to it and being Jewish. It's just another way of saying basically a Jew. So if you're going to say Himol and Himol, that would not include someone who just happens to be circumcised.
This is the same as what we were talking about yesterday, where the boy, the man in the class, that category is what we're talking about.
Possibly. I mean, that's already dependent on that Shuvas Haramah. Possibly. But certainly just because he happens to be Mahul, this is not an issue. So you see, Apagav de Mihile, Kamando lo Mihile Dom. You're right, that can't be the difference. Maybe the difference is the opposite. The difference would be a Jew who is an Orel, and his brothers, the reason he's an Orel is not because he's a Min, it's because he's a hemophiliac, or at least he's afraid he's a hemophiliac, because he had brothers who died at their brit, and they're certainly not going to take a chance at his bleeding to death. And the din is, of course, that he's not supposed to have a brit milah. So here, he wants to now do a brit. Can he do a brit to someone else? That's the question. So well, obviously he's Zerah Abram, and therefore he should be included. Ika. But the other way around, you see that he would not be included because he isn't Nemo. Well, what do you mean he isn't Nemo? Why not? I thought, didn't we just say, you're saying now that just because he's physically uncircumcised, he's called not Nemo? I mean, that's the other side of the Mishnah we just brought. Vatznan konim shani nehenen mimulim. If somebody answers himself to be nene from Jews, because it's much more likely than answering himself to be one of the non-Jews. So he would be Asur Ba'aralei Yisrael. He would not be allowed to be Nene from Jews who were uncircumcised. But he would be allowed to be Nene from Goyim who are circumcised, because his words, Mulim, do not refer to a physical state. That's also true. All right, but what the difference would be could be about a woman. Because Lamandi Amravatatri Titi Shmor. I mean, when Hashem was talking to Avram Avinu and telling him to be Shomer the Brit, he was not talking to women. He kept stressing, Kol Zakar, all the time. So that means the ones who were involved in the entry into that thing was Avram and male children. So therefore, women wouldn't be included. If the only problem is Hamol Yimal, a woman is, for all intents and circumcised, for all intents and purposes. And so, Mamela Isha, Kemanda Mehila Danya, a woman is circumcised by definition, and therefore is called Himo, Hamo, Himo.
Born
circumcised.
So she can do this circumcision.
So she would be able to do the circumcision, according to this. Oh, that's exactly what the next Gemara is. How can anybody say that a woman wouldn't be able to circumcise if the only male that we know in the Torah is the Tzipora? That's the male parak, or Moalit anyway, parak to us, right? So me, Ikalaman, Yomer, Isha, Lo, Vatikak Tzipora Tzav. It says that she took the sword, yeah, that she took the stone and cut. Kribe vataka. She saw to it that it was taken. She had a cell phone. As soon as that nukah swallowed up her husband, she said, "Come quick!" And he got on a flying camel, as we saw in Marcus, and he got there. It was a full service hotel that they had checked
into.
He could have done it himself. Right. It doesn't sound, certainly wasn't Moshe. He was in no position to act. I doubt that the child was able to do anything much. Havar Tziv Vatichrot, doesn't it say that she cut? No. Kribe Vatichrot. She saw to it that it was cut. Maybe that means she got Moshe to act, you know, get moving, you know, something like that. So, I mean, but the Mashmah says she called somebody else. The Mashmah says, the Amalina Shakrina Mava, she called a male to do the job. Vibaisema, or it could be that Lamaisa, she did get Moshe to do it, but of course he couldn't do it while he was being attacked, but he did it after she started, so then the Nachash let go of him. And at that point, he was able to complete the milah, and that way the mitzvah was, the actual milah was done by him, And what she did was really begin, which was enough to get rid of the attacker. So the Asam Moshe Hagmar on there. So if you learn that, that Moshe from the Bani, means that Moshe finished it anyway.
It says, Isha Kaman, Nihwe Dami, that's why women say, Abishai, the time of the Serena invention.
Yeah, okay. You don't really have to come on to that, though, for that. Okay, but yeah, that's a good point. So, I mean, Halacha L'maisa, again, there's a lot of very, that whole opening seif in Mila, in Hilchos Mila, there's a lot of rich material. Basically, most Bris Torah never gets beyond the first seif in Hilchos Mila. But one of the strange things that you have over there is that the Bechaber paskins that anybody can be mal. He mentions the Isha. And then the Rama comes along and says, well, Yesh Omrim, that Isha lo timo. She shouldn't be mal v'chein noagi. And everybody screams, what do you mean, v'chein noagi? I mean, everybody's agreeing, v'chein noagi. And Isha lo timo could simply be because she's not so bikiya. I mean, that's the norm is, as a male as a man. But why, besides which, how could it be a minhag on something that hardly ever comes up? I mean, a minhag is only, what is a minhag? Yeah, you can't call that a minhag and make it there's a lot of issues about that. It doesn't seem to really be a, halacha l'maisa, we're not knowing that women are mal. Okay, some learn that group, that's because of the chashash that we should follow the shita that Atar Prisi Tishma, which is Rav shita, as opposed to the Elchana. There's a whole question over here, how we paskin Tosfos brings over here, the normal psak that you would paskin like Rav, whereas the Bahag, the halacha, even though normally you say Rav Rav Yochanan, Elchana Rav Yochanan, but the Bahag paskins otherwise, it's a long history to how it is to deal with this thing. That seems to be behind the psak and Rama. No. You're on. Mitzvatim mehem ripui mamon. It's very strange language over here. You can have a refuah from Akum if it involves money, which we'll see. What is that supposed to mean? Avolo ripui nefashot, but not if it means life. Again, the Gemara is going to be going into this in detail. You cannot get a haircut anywhere from a guy, even if it's in broad daylight in the middle of the street. You sit down over there because it's too easy to slip up with that razor blade, And, while he's shaving your neck, you could just shave a little too closely. And, whoops, I'm really sorry. So, it would be no problem. And this, of course, is another one of those examples of the Machlokas Rebbe Meir and the Chachamim Begabi the Sakonas. Rebbe Meir says, well, it doesn't matter. The Chachamim Omrim Bereshut HaRabim Mutar. As long as it's in public, we're not Chayesh V'Shvuchut Amim. Avolo Ben Olamina. But not to go into a barbershop where nobody knows what happens. They keep the bodies in the back room, maybe not in the night times. So I think about, what do those words mean? What's this Ripui Mamon? Avolo Ripui Nefashot? Even the Ripui Mamon means that you can pay for the refuah. And Ripui Nefashot is a lashon of doing something for free. And we do find this, as Rashi points out, because it says, Im Yesh Et Nafshechem, that's how Avram Avinu refers to B'nai Chet. Im Yesh Et Nafshechem, so pigun enough. Do me a favor. If you really like me, do me a favor. In which case you could say that the concept of nifashot is, if you care about someone in your soul, like we say in English, oh, he's a very soulful person. So it's a soul type of thing to do. Maybe that's how we're using the word. But then that's a crazy way to refer to it. I mean, all along, we know how we say those words. I mean, why would we use such a strange kind of New Age language to explain it? And a ripui mamon, maybe the point is like this. Ripui mamon means something that involves payment. In other words, it's elective. So it's something that doesn't involve any type of danger to life. So that would mean it's davar she'ein bo sakana. And dinei ripui nefashot would mean a davar she'yesh bo sakana. And it's saying that to do something that involves a procedure that isn't dangerous, fine. But to do something that might lead to your death on the operating table, then you can't. Maybe that's what it means. But that isn't true either, because Ha'amar Rav Yehuda said, Afilu Riv de Dekusilta, Lo Matzinun Minayu. You can't go to a doctor like that, even to heal the simplest thing. The Kusilta was the barb of the leech, the metal leech, but they used to call them leeches, the bunkers. Anyway, they call bunker bagels, pretty disgusting, So the little bloodletting.
No, the copying, that's a modern idea. Yeah, I'm saying in those days it was the real thing. So they would be a little hole that was left over, and sometimes the nurse doesn't know what she's doing, like when you go to Kupatrum, and it hurts for hours. So, you know, you may want to go to a doctor and give you some type of medication so at least it doesn't hurt so much, which is certainly not a much of an operation. I mean, to get a little bit of anesthetic or something to rub on it, even that you can't do. So even to heal, the root does, there's the little dot where the needle penetrated, even the root of the casilta you don't go to a Goyish doctor for. So that can't be what it means. I mean, it was certainly not coming along over here to be favored on the Mishnah.
Does anybody say that Ripuy Mamon's a psychologist?
No, we'll get to that. No, I'll talk about that. Now, the Ripuy Mamon must mean the Hemto. I mean, you go to a Goyish vet. That's what it means. Which, I mean, most doctors anyway, that would be okay, right? And Ripuy Nefashot would mean yourself, your nefesh. You mean your own good face. So with yourself, is your nefesh. So we call it nefashot. Behind the Yom Rav Yudana, that indeed would be what Rav Yudana meant. As he's saying, if it comes to yourself, you might think that just like a little thing like that is no different than taking your animal to a vet, but it's not true. For yourself, I feel a bit that the circle on that sinamina. It's different, however, if you go to a doctor for advice. If you go to him to cure you, that's dangerous. If you go for your advice, he's going to have to make sure about what he tells you. He doesn't care what he does to you. So he may also do something to you. But if we're going to ask him for advice, he figures, if he's asking me, he may call out somebody else also. That's what most people ask advice for. They never accept your advice. They make a poll, right? I know whenever anybody calls me for advice, I say, listen, after you've spoken to the other 20 people you're going to talk to, maybe we'll talk about it. And that's always advice. So the guy over here figures that im amalo sam ploni yafalo, sam ploni rao, because that kind of medication is good, that kind of medication is not good, then mutar, you can rely on him, because sabar shiule mashalo, kekana mashalo, mashalina shakrina. This guy's asking me, I'll bet you he's going around figuring out what he should do. And so it's always, you know, everybody figures they'll know better than the doctor. So, you know, they'll ask the neighbor, they'll look it up on the internet. I mean, a doctor who's asked an opinion has got to know what he's talking about.
Yesterday we talked about the doctor protecting his
reputation. I wasn't able to finish. And if I say the wrong thing, then I may get into trouble. So, but anyway, he will be very careful. Now, this point is an excellent point. The question is whether it's limited to Mumchah L'Rabim, that we said yesterday. He's a very famous or well-known physician. Or otherwise, maybe we won't rely on this. But here we would, because he knows that he's going to be put up against competition. And then he's going to ruin his reputation. On my Rav, I'm Rav Yochanan. My son say, I'm Rav Hista, I'm Rav Yochanan. The thing is like this. Suffolk high, Suffolk made, aim at dropping me. If somebody has an illness, which if he does not get a doctor to cure, he's not sure whether he may die from it or not. He shouldn't go to a Goyish doctor, because then he'll definitely die. If, anyway, whatever he's suffering from is definitely going to kill him, then the guy can't make it much worse. So then you can go to him, which is a good general rule for doctors. I mean, anyway. So if he's Badai Mate, so then Mitrapi Man, then you can go to a doctor. Now, the next line is one of the most important in terms of Psak Halacha, one of the most frequently quoted lines in modern medicine, child. Ask the Gemara, Vadai Mate. I don't understand. Why is that the criteria? If somebody has an illness, he's going to die for sure. Let's say he'll die maybe in a half a year. He's suffering from terminal cancer. There's some kind of experimental operation that can be done. Or over here, he's going to go to a goy. Now, the goy may kill him in this operation. You're saying, well, if he's going to die anyway, what's the difference? But what do you mean, what's the difference? I mean, if he dies, he's going to die on the operating table. I guess he could have at least lived another half a year. Should he not be ma'adif, at least take the vadai, that he can live for however long he can live, and not go into an operation that may well kill him? And then he loses that time. And of course, this is one of the most significant issues. What is the vadai that we're talking about over here? Because in the previous case, when we said, well, if there's a chance that you'll live, it's not clear. What does that mean, a chance? A chance that you'll live, but don't go to the guy will vadai kill you. I mean, it can't mean literally vadai kill you, because then what would be the point in the second case of going to the doctor? He's vadai going to kill you. So when we're talking about vadai, we obviously mean a greater chance. So how do you really weigh that. Suppose there's an experimental operation for this type of cancer that has a 10% chance of success. 80% of people die on the operating table. Was that the vada that we were talking about? No. These are the questions, and the Gemara has to bring a raya. It brings a brilliant raya, one of the most beautiful, famous Gemaras as to these kind of issues. How do we know that a person has the right to do something which could result in his immediate death if his intent is to maybe save himself from a death that is there anyway but is further off, which is called chayei sha'ah, which, by the way, is also a question, because unbelievably everybody is dying. So what is the meaning of chayei sha'ah anyway? Anything that you do is chayei sha'ah. I mean, it's not exactly, we're dealing with immortals here. So, I mean, somebody's sick. I mean, this happens very often in certain types of cancer, you know, in which the doctor says, what's the point of, you know, chances are you'll die anyway during the time, you know, so you're going to, I mean, most of this cancer can go on for 20 years, 30 years. You know, you want to operate on it now and go through all of our men. There's a good chance that anyway, you'll die of other things. And that there are cancers like that. They're slowly growing cancers. What's called chayei sha'ah? The difference between 20 years and 5 years, is that called chayei sha'ah? Do we look at actuarial tables? I mean, how do we estimate this? Many, many tshuvas. Rav Moshe dealt with, of course, because he had his son-in-law, you know, who was a doctor. So he dealt with a lot of the specific issues, you know, specific type of operations. He got down to actually to details about what is considered to be chayei sha'ah versus the, you know, you have the Abiezri. He had a lot of also practical shadows like this. But these are the books and books and books that are currently, you know, on the shelves about medical shadows, and they revolve around this Gemara. Minot tema de la chayei sha'ah lo chashin. How do you know that you have a right to take a risk in order to get a longer life when you're in a terminal situation? Dichsin, because here we have this amazing case in which you had Dichazi and his sons, according to the Gemara, the Arbam and Soraim. They're outside the city. The city is surrounded by Aram. They're starving. In Yerushalayim, everybody's starving. So they say, you know what? Let's go give ourselves up. We'll walk in with a white flag. We'll go into Aram. I don't know. We have no idea how they treat prisoners. They can shoot us on the spot. Maybe they'll be nice. They'll give us something to eat. But if we go back into the city, we're dead anyway because nobody's got food. So we might as well go to Aram and maybe we'll live. So Imam Arnu Navoha here. So what they say to each other is, look, if we determine that we should go back into town, we're going to die. Therefore, let's go to Aram, even though they may kill us on the spot. Now, why don't they say, look, if we're starving, we can live another 3 days. If we go to Aram now, we're finished on the spot. So you see, you see that it's okay to do a pu'ula that may be very dangerous if it's got a chance of getting you out of a situation that anyway is terminal.
Jewish doctor perform an experimental surgery of any sort?
For this reason. Exactly. This is the whole point. I mean, his intention is not to kill the guy's intention, it's to save the guy. No, that's the intention.
Antibodies for the things
you do. Exactly. I mean, those are the questions. How do we weigh it? How much chayesha and how much sakana? And I mean, these are, you know, the Gemara's given very broad guidelines without telling us very much detail. The patient, Hashem, you're out, and you shouldn't be in a matzah. Look at your patient. I see you're still carrying that crutch around. That was the first mistake. No. I'm joking. Let them touch you. That's it. Mason. Now, the question that we have over here is, lo yisav yitein adam im haminim. A person should not have any business dealings with minim. Ve'ein mitrapim mehem afilu l'chayei sha'ah. Now, you don't get yourself a refuah from a min, even if you're dying anyway. Ma'atzeh b'ben dama, who was the nephew of Rabbi Yishmael, and he was bit by a poisonous snake. Now, Yaakov Ish Kfar Sachanya, and we know about him because he was the Yoshke Talmud that Rabbi Yehuda was so upset, and I loved his birth, and that's how he got into trouble. So he comes along, and he had a refuah, and And Rabbi Yishmael said, I'm sorry, you cannot see the patient. No, he needs Rabbi Yishmael. So Ben Dama begs Rabbi Yishmael, he says, please have to let the guy kill me. I'm like, Rabbi Yishmael, achi, anachlo, verateni menu. Let me get a refuah. I'll bring you a raya from the Torah that it's mutter. You're having this machloket because the guy is choking and dying. Vani avini kleminat harashim mutar. Although he speaks like Marta Davar, he couldn't bring his raya until he dropped that. Achi atzanish matov amet. So Rabbi Yishmael said, oh, ashrecha ben Dama, you're such a lucky guy. Your soul left your body with the word mutter. And mutter is awesome, mutter lach, and everything is fine, and so on and so forth. So what's the pshat? It's a good thing you weren't over on what your friends, including myself, say, because, you know, if you don't listen to what the Chachamim tell you, you know what happened. It says the poet's getting his head on off, she'll be bit by a snake. So, you got to admit, there's definitely a sense of humor here, right? Says the Gemara, shining minut, you can't ask that question. Because there's a tremendous difference between getting a refuah from an akum doctor and getting a refuah from a min. A min is somebody who's involved in this kind of stuff. He attracts you to this kind of stuff. And if, in fact, Yaakov Minoa would have been successful, then there's a chash that Ben Dama would have been attracted to it. Now, Tosis points out that later on we'll see that Rabbi Avu actually took a prescription from the same guy, Yaakov Minoa. And said, how is that possible? And Tosis says a very important distinction, which is brought la'alocha, that when it says you cannot be misrata from a min, it means not prescriptions, it means where the guy is reciting all types of things over you, you know, doing this hokey-pokey energy stuff and incantations, exactly. Over there, there's a chashash that you'll believe that the guy's got some kind of power over you. No, not mashka, doesn't matter. And it'll be Moshech you afterwards with those things. Now here is the basic of what Moshe Baruch brought up earlier is, and Moshe Baruch brought it up sort of as a joke of ripui nifashot, meaning psychiatric care, which Rav Moshe actually brings from this Gemara. You have a big shaila, can you go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist who is a min? I mean, he says all of these heterim would only be based on his giving you medicine, but these guys who are doing their hokey pokey is the same thing as incantations. And you know, if he's going to be giving you insights into your feelings. I mean, there's no greater mishicha than that. And therefore, if you're going to somebody's going to be back, which was very common, you're going to, you know, well, why should you have hang-ups about those issues? That's just old Jewish, you know, minhagim and so on. And be free and release your inhibitions. So that kind of stuff is very dangerous. And so Mamela, it would be awesome to go to such a person. He says maybe if the guy is a mumchel rabbin, not that it turns out that there's really such a thing in psychiatry, at least in terms of statistics. Huh? Qualified, yeah. But, and he gives you his professional word that he won't engage in any type of religious kind of discussions or, you know, hashkafic, that maybe in order to avoid ruining his reputation, you could rely on it. Anyway, he says, ulai. But this is where it was based on that sock of remotion that you have so many Jewish people going into psychology in order to deal with the religious world, because remotion says you got to go to religious psychologists. You've already got your, you know, the scientist in the White House saying go to him, and there you go. You can advertise right off that you have a hechsher and the other guy doesn't.
Do we say the Jews go after the interpretation by Goyim also?
Yeah. So now the Gemara is a little bit confused by this business about the snake, because after all, the guy was dying of a snake bite anyway. So what do you say? It's a good thing. A good thing that you didn't get cured from your snake bite, because if you did, you never know what could happen. A snake could bite you. I mean, what's the logic in that? Ask the Gemara. You said, for heaven's sakes, the guy had been bit by a snake. So how could you possibly make things worse? And you're saying, it's a good thing you weren't over on Yom HaVeracha. Oh, says the Gemara, a snake of the Rabbanon is much worse than a normal snake. If you have the Rabbanon, the left Le'atsuta claw, there's never any way to cure that. So, you know, at least like this, you just had a normal snake bite you. Those are much worse snakes. Anyway, what pasuk was he thinking about? When he was saying, I'll bring a riot from the Torah, and then this is Fermat's last theorem. I mean, what was the pasuk? You want to know.
This might be the Gemara that says that Ro'anachash Meme is Elachay Meme.
Okay, it's a very interesting comparison. It's a good point.
But what is Rashi Meme? If the snake doesn't kill him, then the bite of the Rabbanan will.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. What are you going to do? You're going to go ahead now, you're going to be over this, and anyway, you'll be bit by the snake, which will be worse. That's what he's saying. What's the difference? I already had a snake bite. So what am I saying? No, this is worse snake bite. So my Havi Leila Meme, what was the answer to Fermat's last theorem? B'chai Bahem. V'lo Shiyamut Bahem. Well, he says the perish b'chai Bahem, which means you have a right to do things, even though they may be usher, in order to live. So why wasn't he allowed to do it? Fine, so it's usher. So when you do everything else, it's usher because of b'chai Bahem. Why can't you do this because of b'chai Bahem? Rabbi Yishmael held that b'chai Bahem is hanimilu b'tzina'ah. Avo b'farhesiyalo. Something which is involves an iser that is a chilul Hashem because of the fact that it's the ahavtat Hashem Elokech. And over here, this is the mishicha to ovdei kochavim. To minus represents a destruction of the it's avizrayu in a sense of avodah zarah. It's some machlokas how far Rabbi Shmuel was going here, because if it was really held, it was real avizrayu avodah zarah, then there's no v'chayv and even betina. But that's a machlokas. So again, we'll see this as we continue. So there, Rabbi Shmuel says that the Farhesi is different. The Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel, there. Minayim shimomrim lo la'adam avod avodat kochavim v'altei harek. The Rabbi Shmuel Shita is that even if a person is told, worship avodah zarah, in order that I don't kill you. How do we know shiyavod v'al yareg, he should, and not get killed? Talmud lomar v'chaydam v'lo shiyamut. Yachol apilu b'fahesi, you might think this is even if other people will see and can therefore learn from it in how they should respect the Shem Hashem. Talmud lomar v'lo t'chalalu shem kachi. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, there's no be'etzem chilul Hashem on the Yavoda. It's the fact that people will learn to respect less, which is the chilul.
The chilul Hashem is
b'fahesi. Exactly. So that's where he's learned, and that's what the machlokas revolves around.
So according to Rabbi Yishmael, all Yavod
is only if it would be b'fahesi. Exactly.
Does he agree that any mitzvah of the fire would also be?
No, because the ones that are nogea, the svara, in other words, my chazis, the dama bidah, might, it depends how you learn the sugya. As the Rambam learns, the entire thing is only in terms of a lot of chalama. But not everybody learns that way. That is, would be nogea, let's say, by a goy. A goy doesn't have that mitzvah. He's not mitzvah in Kiddush Hashem. So what happens in a case where he's over on something that is logically not to be over? The guy says, you kill him or I kill you. So they say, well, I mean, my chazita the dama b'tidat some mitzvay, lima duman dama danu dada some mitzvay, and therefore God said, don't kill. Right? So the way the Rambam understands the sugya, it makes no difference that God said, don't kill, because I'm not killing. The very fact that I'm being forced means it's not my act. That's how the Rambam understands the whole sugya. An onus is not chayav by definition, because it isn't his. You need a meida chiyav to tell you, and that's the lo sechalalu, that even when it's not your act, you must not be allowed to be in the position of being forced either. So in other words, that's a meida chiyav. Obviously, if you are forced and you do it, you won't be chayav, because it wasn't your act anyway. You see, according to the Rambam, the fact that the guy doesn't have the meida chiyuv of chilul Hashem means that it was not my act, it was not my business, b'chlal. It's exactly the same. Somebody took me and used me to smash somebody else's head in when I'm supposed to die in order not to be a hammer. So it's not gonna mean that he's pushing my buttons and I'm pulling the trigger. It's the same thing. Is that that? I mean, it's, you know, classic Rambam way of saying, oh, like everything clicks right into place. And then there'd be no nafkamina. Because what we're really dealing is only where the chiyuv of lota chalalu comes in. But as I said, not everybody learns that way. And then it gets very complicated how they do. I mean, I can't even explain to you because I never understood how to do. There doesn't seem to be any other consistent approach. I'm very prejudiced, as you know. Omar Rabba Barba Pana Rabbi Yochanan. You should know that kol makah shemachalalina le'at ha-shabbat, if you've got a sakana, then you got to worry about what this guy's going to do to you. And because he could easily make that worse. And then, ein mitrapim mehem. Again, there's a whole machlokas, Rishonim, about whether this is dafka b'chinam, but not b'schar, where it does involve his reputation and so on. So, ein mitrapim mehem. Rashi does not hold to that, okay, but in the Piskei Harid it holds like that and so on. It's all brought la'alocha b'shita. And the Ik and the Amre, but of course this is not like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said even Rav Yehuda Kassil did not. He is cholek now. This psak Rav Yochanan is cholek on Rav Yehuda. He says, as long as what you're dealing with is surface issues and it's not going to turn into a dangerous thing, there's no problem. The Ik and the Amre, Amre Abba B'chona, Amre Yochanan. Others phrase this in a different way, which is a little confusing, but it sounds the same, in which kol makah shel chalal in mitzvah, any makah which, now there's a machlokas Rashi, not here, but in other places, and Tosfos, as to what makat chalal means. There's places where Rashi says that makat chalal means a makat which is keneged an area that is in the chalal haguf, where the organs are, as opposed to on a hand, arm, and so on. The other Tosfos learns, and Rashi hears Mashba that he goes along with that, that makat chalal means something that's inside of the body and not on the surface of the skin. So even if it's in your throat or whatever, that's also a makat chalal. But in any event, that's really the same thing with Gabe Shabbos. I mean, a makat chalal is defined as a sakana. So if a guy has some infection in his throat or something, it's a makat chalal, he can easily die from it. And so the mela, even if it's a far out chashash, you don't let a person suffer the strep throat. And, you know, it's okay. So what's the difference between saying kol makat shabachal min alayat shabbat and makat shal chalal? What's the difference? My denial. Ah, there is a difference. Ike b'nayu gav hayad v'gav haregel. The difference would be a problem that's on the surface, but it's on the surface in a place that the Gemara views as a sakanat nefashot begabe Shabbat, like the back of the hand, it usually causes, you know, a blood poisoning, and so on, which often happens. People in the hospital all the time with this very urethral kind of thing. So that type of thing, where it's in a place that is dangerous, is the same as makat shel chalal. So if you learn that we're talking about a makat shel chalal literally, then it would mean that something that's exposed, where the guy is treating you and you're going to see if the situation is getting worse, that's okay, because then you can tell if he's doing damage. Whereas if it's literally internal, you don't know what's going on. Mashenkin, if you hold that it has to do with Mekalin Al Shabbat, and it's the level of Sakana per se, that's the issue. We'll go on tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, or Rabbanea will be here with you tomorrow. I'm taking a day off, and I'll see you Bezrat Hashem, Motay Shabbat at 9:30. Would that be okay? Because I'm going to be out again.
That would be too
no good. Yeah. Well, I didn't want to say that, but you noticed, didn't you? Well, yeah, I may even get back for Friday, but just in case, is 9:30 okay for Motzei Shabbat?
So be it.
So be it.